G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 25. I'm John Best Bet Barker. Joining me once again, Carl Diorio. Carl, well, the calendar tells us it's summer for a few more days, but oh, is there an autumn flavour about racing on Saturday?
Great racing across the country on Saturday. Really good. If you can't get excited about the racing on Saturday, you probably should pursue another interest because it's just fantastic. And you might as well start off the show with your best bet because that's pretty much the only highlight of the show at the moment.
No, we don't want people just turning straight off. And, you know, once they've got the information they require. But I'm looking at my best bet now and... I'm the only one that likes it, so...
Wow.
Then again, that was the case with Terra Vista last week, but...
$8.50, yeah.
Well, actually paid 15 bucks, didn't
it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God knows why. But anyway, that's all good in hindsight. I might have to look for something a little bit more realistic than that, but we'll see. And we will get to all the action. Three big group ones as the Caulfield Carnival climaxes. Relaxed racing at Caulfield on Saturday. Of course, Winx steps out at Randwick. And there's more two-year-old intrigue with the Sweet Embrace and the Skyline. But we'll start at Caulfield and we will take you right through the program because we've got nine races, all black type. First of them is Ladbrokes Mornington Cup Prelude Race 1, 2,000 metre. Listed event sees one of your very, very favourite horses, Carl, in Pelote Desai. Have you gone that way?
I have. I was on second bullet, though, last start, and that won quite easily, won by four lengths, but the price discrepancy is just too great. I mean, I don't want to be taking $250, $260 about second bullet. I'd love to take $8 about him, but not that sort of short quote. Pelote Desai drops in grade. He ran really well, I thought, first up in the Carline Cup. It was not run to suit. He ran the quickest 200 metres of the race between the 800 to the 600 in an attempt to get into it, but he just peaked on the effort late. He'll be fitter. Expect him to win here from second bullet, who is the main danger. Third number four, Goldstream, who led throughout last time, getting a picnic in the lead and just doing enough to hold on. I think there's a bit of a gap back to him in third, and then I've got in number three, Boom Time, in for fourth.
Well, I thought Goldstream could do it again, number four from Pelote Desai, Boom Time, and a sign. Race 2 at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes Zetative Stakes, 1,200 metres for 3-year-old colts and geldings at Group 3 level.
Number 3, Derren, on top for me, draws beautifully in Barrier 1. It has enjoyed some nice low-digit barriers of late, and first up in the Manfred Stakes, a box seeded from Barrier 2. Face value, some thought disappointing. I didn't think so. It was just a sit sprint tempo. He held his ground with the leading division over the line, that race won by Legless Verve. Hey Doc, you know, was alongside Derren on that occasion, then came out and won the CSA's last Saturday. I think that's strong form lines for this Zetative. Got ahead of the four, Gratwick, who's kept fresh to the 1,200 metres, has a knack of over-racing. What Craig Williams does from Barrier 9 will be very interesting. Third number 5, Into Orbit, who's racing really well and looks a smart type. And for fourth, I've put in number 10, Appiata. Won well on debut in the middle of winter. I think we didn't see the best of Appiata the last campaign and could be a massive improver here at odds.
Derren for me too, number 3 to beat 2 Benz, 4 Gratwick, 1 Peacock. Race 3 at Caulfield, Heritage Finance, Caulfield Autumn Classic. And this is a group 2 for the 3-year-olds over 1,800 level weights.
Trenchin on top for me, picked him last Friday night at Mooney Valley. I wasn't too... taken by the rider Ben Mellum. I think he missed the boat there when finishing behind Red Alto around 6th of 8th. Just felt that Trenchant was good through the line, but he needed to get going a lot earlier. And I think the rise in distance will enable Trenchant back to his own age group to perform very well here. So I've got him on top from 3 Cliffhanger, who was a good last start winner. Prior to that, ran 2nd to Oak Door first up. That's strong form. I mean, Canedna has got form lines around Oak Door and then came out and won last Saturday in group company. Cliffhanger's won 2 recent jump outs as well, so really kept up to the mark by Lee and Anthony Friedman. Third, I've put in number 2, Farson. Think it's one of the lays of the day. Last two wins have been good, but just think it comes up a little bit in class. I think the first approval win, a little bit flattering given the pattern of the day, and maybe Rising Red should have toppled it last time. So I think it's unders at the price. And for fourth, I've put in there number 11, Miss Strathallan, who really hit the line nicely in winning impressively at Pakenham at Maven level last time.
Well, I've gone for another impressive filly maiden winner, and that's Bunt El Badou at about $21, number 12, to beat three Cliffhanger, two Farson, who we're both trying to get rolled, it would seem, and seven Callisto Moon for fourth. Race four at Caulfield on Saturday. Polytrack Angus Armanasco Stakes, 1,400 for the three-year-old fillies at Group 2 level.
Good race. Going with Oregon's Day on top again. I was on first up when it ran second in the Kevin Hayes behind Furyk. Actually ran an identical last 800 to Furyk on that occasion when being beaten two lengths. Oregon's Day now second up, should be a bit fitter. Furyk, of course, has raced throughout the summer months and had residual fitness on her side, so I think there's perhaps a case for Oregon's Day to turn the tables here. Splitting those, though, I've got Jennifer Lynn in for second, who was very unlucky in that Kevin Hayes race, just held up for much of the straight. We know how dynamic she is over 1,400 metres, so you've got to put her in. For third, I have put in number 2, Furyk, and then for fourth, I've put in number 9, Inspire the Stell, the half-sister to Lankan Rupee, who sustained a wide run in that Kevin Hayes and ran on well for fourth. Certainly one to include for the multiples.
Yeah, well, haven't found my best bet of the day in your four there. That's number 3, Ella Kazoom, for WA's Parnhams. I just love following these WA horses that win all the time and come over here. And I mean, quite often they come over here and they don't win, but sometimes they do. And Ella Kazoom is my best for the day at Caulfield to beat 2 Furyk, 1 Jennifer Lynn, 4 Oregon's Day.
The mother was quite good as well, Ellie Corsan.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to say we won't disagree here, but we have. I speak of race 5. I Talk Travel Futurity Stakes, 1,400 metres standard weight for age. At Group 1 level, and Blackheart Bart is one of my parade of five straight best bets to have got up, and I suppose $1.80 I could almost go again.
You probably can. I mean, I think it's a two-horse race between him and Turn Me Loose. Turn Me Loose is going to lead. Blackheart Bart in the small field won't be too far away, and you know he'll be charging late. Palantino probably needs 1,600 and Flemington of the Blamey Stakes next time out to show his best, and Tucson Stardom's a bit of a mystery runner, but I just think Turn Me Loose, I was on last time at the big price and I felt that he ran enormous. His track work since has been second to none, and he'll give a great sight. So just on a price basis, I got the 3 being the 1, then the 6 and the 4, but then the 4 and the 6, I should say. But I wouldn't be talking you out of Blackheart Bart.
No, you won't be talking out of Blackheart Bart, although I do concede Turn Me Loose is the danger. So 1 to beat 3. Got 6, Palantino for 3rd, 7, Ecuador for 4th. So, very, very similar to the way they finished last time, in fact. Race 6, first leg of the quaddy, the main quaddy at Caulfield on Saturday, is the Crown Lager Peter Young Stakes. Some of us probably still think of it as the St George, but they do love naming races after their former executives, don't they, down there at the Melbourne Racing Club. This is 1,800 metres at weight for age, Group 2 level.
I'll take a race named after me, maybe the Calderia or something like that. But anyway, Humidor on top, third up from a spell. Great runs this campaign in defeat. Really crying out for this extra trip ahead of the Australian Cup. Drawn to get a lovely run as well. Hopefully won't get as far back in the field. So got it on top from 10. Jamaica was a real flashing light run the CF4. She'll eat up the extra distance as well. Third the break, Tom Melbourne. They've tinkered with the gear. They're finally getting his head right. And I really liked his run the Carline Cup. He went to the line untested. He might be the big improver at odds with Joe Moreira aboard. And for fourth, number 3, the United States, first up from a spell. You've always got to respect him in this sort of company. So I've gone 9, 10, 8 and 3.
Similar for me. Once again, I got the first two the other way around. 10, Jamaica. I'm a little bit worried. As you say, a flashing light, but second up had a wide run second up last time in. Certainly can't rule her out. In fact, I have got her on top, but certainly respecting Humidor, number 9. As you say, 3, the United States, the best horse in the race in my humble, and does go fairly well fresh. And number 1, Stratum Star for 4th, 10, 9, 3, 1. second leg of the quaddie and main race of the day, $1.5 million Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Stakes, 1200 for the 2-year-olds at level weights.
I've gone with number 10 Will's Bet on top at 60-1. That might have might need to go to some sort of clinic, but its debut win was quite good at Geelong, and then last time drew the widest barrier. Damien Oliver went back to last. He was shaping as if he was going to loop the field at the top of the straight, but then checked back to the inside. Will's Bid travelled strongly into the straight, but never got a clear run whatsoever. It was just hands and heels for 350 metres of the straight. It was painful viewing and finishing 10th. If it gets a clear run, it certainly finishes within the first three or four, and Will's Bid with a start a third of its price. Again, draws the outside barrier, but this time around, I don't think they'll be riding for luck. It'll be back wide and finishing over the top. Well, at least they'll give it every chance to do so, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of speed on here. Will's Bid, follow him into the size project if he doesn't win on the weekend, but at 60-1, I'm really willing to back him on an each-way basis. I think four pariah is the one to beat if you're having maybe a more sensible selection. It was a great run in the prelude behind property, and I don't think drawing wide's a problem for him. He's just going to get a lovely card up into the race and be there about the finish. Ramu's in for third. She's going to get a lovely run in behind him as well, I suspect. The run that she sort of desires just off the speed and following him through. Dwayne Dunn obviously knows what it takes to win the Blue Diamond. And for fourth, number 13, Tulip. Well, there's a big tip around for Tulip in the office, I must say, and I'm not overly enamoured picking a filly that's having almost a month between runs into a diamond and yet to go past 1,000 metres, but it's the best drawn of the Hayes Dabernick runners, and there's a huge spruik about Tulip in the office, so got to throw it in there somewhere.
They do. They have gone straight from a preview to winning this race in recent times, and indeed, I've in both your winning post and your best bets this week, I've had a good look at the past 10 runnings of this race and what the lead-up form is, and I've extrapolated from that some ludicrous generalisations, and I've thus narrowed it down to five choices. But look, after that, the barrier draw sort of threw me for a bit of a loop, and I had my five picks, and I was just shuffling the order like so many playing cards, and I've come up with one property to beat 13 Tulip. 11 Catchy, 4 Pariah, and if you're interested, the only other chance is 12 Formality. Race 8, the Resimax Group. Oakley Plate is the third of the Group 1s for the day at Caulfield, and also the third leg of the quaddie. It's worth $500,000. It is a handicap, and it's a real handicap. 8Ks between top and bottom. Where have you landed here?
Number 4, Kaepernick on top for me. Third behind Takedown, first up Last Prep. I think that's really good form. I love the way it hit the line over 1,100 metres in that race, first up Last Prep. And equally second behind Spieth in that Tattersall's race, also over 1,100 metres, and then came out and beat Backman to end the campaign. Really well weighted, just with 53. Draws wide, but that doesn't matter. He'll get back and be finishing powerfully. I think Wild Rain and Shidell and a few others, they'll go like Oakley Players, and it might set it up for a swooper. So, four Kaepernick on top for me from two fell swoop, the class runner. He deserves a good win at Group 1 level. He might just fall short again. For third, number 3, Extreme Choice. You've always got to respect him around Caulfield. He's 2 from 2. And for fourth, number 10, Hellbent. So I like the way he kind of stuck on just on the coattails at Chautauqua last time. I think the way the race was run, it didn't really suit Chautauqua or Hellbent.
Fell Swoop for me, one of my favourite horses, and as you say, if any horse deserves a Group 1 win, it's him. I mean, it's a bit of a worry when they run in a lot and they go close and they don't win any, but Flavour was a horse years ago who ran in about 15 before he won one, and more recently Buffering, I suppose, is another example, and then just knocked up winning them. But I like Fell Swoop, and I think you know, he might not win, as you say, but $7.50, you're going to back him each way. You will probably end up with more than you started with. For a second, I've got number 1, Flamberge, but, I mean, obviously enormous run last week.
Isn't it an afterthought?
It is. Yeah. That's one thing. That's one problem. And then another one is that he's 7 years old, and no 7-year old, I think, has ever. Oh, no, it's not ever, but hasn't won the Oakley Plate for about 35 years. Yeah. So that's a concern. Other than that, similar to Kale, 3 Extreme Choice for 3rd and 10 Hellbent for 4th. And taking us home at Caulfield on Saturday's Race 9, it is not the Lapine Funerals, it's the Premier Signs Mannerism Stakes for mares 4 years old and up, Group 3, 1400.
Silent Sedition's obviously going to be hard to beat. Even money, though, don't want to touch it at even money. She's a good mare, but even money, I can't be backing her at that price. Alaskan Rose on top for me as a result. I really liked her run in behind Prussian Vixen in the race. Silent Sedition was an unlucky second. She got back to last in a sit sprint race, was home the quickest final 200. 1400 metres, she will eat up. I think 1600 metres at Flemington in a fortnight will be absolutely perfect for her. But from barrier 5, hopefully won't get too far back. And of course, she was an impressive winner over this track and distance first up last campaign. So she certainly can sprint effectively, Alaskan Rose. Got ahead of 2 Silent Sedition, 3 Abby Marie. She also closed off well from a rearward position first up and perhaps needs a touch further. And for 4th, number 4, Thames Court, who is also entered for Sydney.
All right, well, that would be a brilliant segue, Carl, and speaking of Sydney, but unfortunately I can't do that, can I, because we have to go through our best and value bets for Caulfield, and as I guess I indicated, and listeners, this is not my best $20 bet for the weekend, necessarily. You'll have to wait. But my best on the Caulfield card is race 4, number 3, Ella Kazoom. My value bet from race 3, number 12, Bint El Badou.
My best is race 6, number 9, Humidor, and the best value is the Ruffy, race 7, number 10, Willsbib.
And speaking of Sydney, they're racing at Randwick, where Winx will step out in the first Group 1 of 2017 in Sydney. But we'll take you right through the black type, and that starts in race 3, the Valet Edgar Britt OAM Sweet Embrace Stakes, 1200 metres for 2-year-old fillies.
Gone with Song Like, number 11 here. Really impressed with the trials leading it into her debut. She was second to She Will Reign that morning. That She Will Reign won her trial by 9 lengths, and then Song Like won her most recent trial by 2. She's really well bred. She's drawn to get a lovely run. She's got a great turn of foot on her, and I think she'll be hard to beat. So got there ahead of number 8, Greater Good, who trialled well before her debut in the gym crack, I should say. But she just didn't really finish off with much gusto. May have come to the end of her tether that time. Recent trials been good. Willing to give her another chance at double figure odds. For third, number 3, Exceeds, who's been beaten by the likes of From Within, Invader, Chauffeur and Veronillo in her 3 starts. And then for fourth, I'm putting in number 2, Arctic Angel, who may be an improver with the winkers applied first time. Kieran McAvoy suggested that to Connections after the last start run, and they've heeded that message. So I've gone with 11 to beat 8, 3 and 2 in race 3.
Race 4 is the Colts division. That is the Schweppes Skyline Stakes, also a Group 2 over 1,200.
Well, possibly the only danger the She Will Reign, apart from, I guess, herself and the barrier draw and everything like that, might just be this colt here, Minari, the son of Snitzel. Good winner on debut, and then a good thing beaten in the Canterbury. He should have come out and beaten Pariah quite easily, and we all then saw what Pariah did in Melbourne in the Prelude. So Minari might be one out of the box as well. Draws barrier 1, hopefully gets a clear passage through the field, and under those circumstances, he should be winning. Got it ahead of number 8, Dracarys, yeah. Good winner on debut, though. Handled the heavy track. And look for him to be finishing home as well. He's also a son of Snitzel. Eden Rock, number 5, in for third. The three-quarter brother, the star turn, has been placed at both his starts of date. And for fourth, number 3, Single Bullet, also placed at both runs. Draws wide, but should be finishing home strongly. I've gone 2, 8, 5, and 3 in race 4.
All right, we move up to the older gallopers in race 5 at Randwick, and that is the Open Markets and BMYG Liverpool City Cup. Group 3 over 1,300.
Genuinely surprised about the price of number 8, New Tipperary. This horse is first up from a spell, perhaps, you know, slightly more effective over further, but its trials leading into this have been very, very good. It only has to carry 53 kilos. It's got a great strike rate of 6 wins from 9 starts. And in a race whereby Chetwood's coming off that gutbuster first up run at Moonee Valley, and you could probably say the Godolphin team at the moment is just, with the exception of Hartnell and maybe Veronillo, there's a few in that stable that perhaps are just not performing. I don't know if I want to be taking the short odds about Chetwood. So 8, New Tipperary on top from me, from 3, Chetwood. For third, I've put in number 5, McCreary, who comes out of that Group 1 race over the mile, the Cantala, as the runner-up and is reasonably well-weighted. And for fourth, I'm putting in number 6, Snippets Lands, who closed off well last time. 8, 3, 5 and 6 in race 5.
All right, you're going against a fairly warm favourite also in race six, although your selection is not an outrageous price. This is the races.com.au Surround Stakes, 1400 for three-year-old fillies at Group 2 level.
Our sister publication, Best Bets, probably says it best. Kevin Casey's Best Bet of the Day is number one, Global Glamour. Ken Coram's Best Bet of the Day is number four, Omar I Sword. And my Best Bet is number two, Fox Play. I'm actually quite convinced Fox Play's over the line. There's best bets sometimes, but then there's really good bets, and I'm actually quite keen on there. I think a run first up in the Light Fingers was great behind Global Glamour, who led throughout, had residual fitness on her side through those two runs in Queensland. Fox Play's more effective over the 1400. She was a great winner over this track and distance in the T-Rose, overcoming trouble in the straight to still win. She'll be fitter, she's second up. Omar I Sword's the other danger, but she's had a delayed start to her campaign with a bit of an injury issue with muscle soreness. So for mine, Fox Play's going to get an extra 200 metres and added fitness to run over Global Glamour. I think that's going to happen. So I've got two to beat one and four, and for fourth I've put in number nine, Zenalicious.
Race seven is the main race, probably not the main punting race of the day, but it is the only Group 1 at Randwick on Saturday, and that is the TAB Chipping Norton Stakes, 1600. At Wait for Age, Winx going for two in a row. Of course, Tie the Knot won four in a row. And Winx also going for 15 wins in a row. John Houlihan, winning post John Houlihan, even topping tipping Winx on top. It might stop her, actually, but it's hard to see anything else doing it.
Yeah, it's her race to lose, and she's just going to win again. Hartnell in for seconds. Hartnell on a wet track, 2,000 metres in the Queen Elizabeth. If they get 30 millimetres of rain and it's a heavy 10, geez, that'd be interesting if something happens like that. But for the time being, she's going to remain unbeaten. For third, I've put in number eight, Endless Drama. And then for fourth, number seven, Tavigo. Well, I spoke to Trent Buston earlier in the week. He's a horse that's obviously got a soft spot to me after the Derby win, but he wasn't suggesting to back at the place or anything like that. He just was hoping to get back and run on. But looking at some of the opposition, they're probably in the same boat, and Tavigo might just stumble home into fourth.
All right. Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday is the last of the black type events, and it is the Guy Walter Stakes for 4 years old and up mares over 1400 at Group 2 level. And here we find your value bet for the day, Carl.
Shillelagh, race 8, number 8. First up, just a complete forgive run. Was a bit slow into stride from the outside barrier, then was impeded by the fallen runner Pearls at about the 800 metre mark. Had to check severely, leapt over it to some degree. Lost ground, but still ran home the quickest last 600 and 200. She's quite an amazing mare. The misfortune she's had at her past four starts, she really has done something to some sort of god, because she really is due a change of luck. And over the 1400 metres from barrier five, it may actually happen this weekend. So got her on top on an each-way basis from three, Danish Twister. It was great in the Breeders' Classic. Likewise was number four, Dixie Blossom's first up in the Triskay. She got home well. And then for fourth, number one, First Seal, who, trial during the week was okay, but maybe needs this run to bring her on, and again, she'll perform well second up.
All right, so to recap, Carl's best, and not only the best of Saturday, but the best he seems to have seen for quite some time, is race six, number two, Fox Play, and value was that horse, very special horse just talked about there, very unlucky horse. Race eight, number eight, Shillelagh. They are racing mainly on the Parks track on Saturday in Adelaide at Morfordville. They've got a nine race card there, but they are running the first on the main track. And what have you got for us there, Carl?
Race seven, number 10. Avoid the Misses is my best bet of the day. Rises to the 1400 metres here. The first two runs this campaign have been decent, finishing within two lengths of the winner on either occasion. Look, it's going to draw the outside barrier and get back in the field, but I think just this race maps well for Avoid the Misses, and also just a little bit down in grade as well. So I've got it on top as my best bet of the day. And race eight, number six, Dr. Dapper is my value selection. Not bursting with confidence with Dr. Dapper. You never can with this horse, but on his day, he's quite good. He's got a great second up record. He's quite effective over this track and distance. And I think that in the right sort of circumstances from the wide barrier, if he just gets a touch of luck with Claire Lintop aboard, can bob up at the good each way quote.
Doomben, big fields, as is often the case, and it is the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday, and characteristically, we wait till races 7 and 8 for your specials.
Big fields, the last three races, if you can jag the quaddy, you're going to be in for quite a windfall, irrespective of who gets up, I'd suspect. Race 7, number 17, Jet Sonic, is my value bet. This horse won first up at Ipswich, and then the next three runs have been quite good. In town, I like the way he found the line from a midfield position off a sit sprint tempo last time at Doomben. He ran second behind Heartbreak Harry. Jim Byrne aboard from barrier 14 should settle just for the midfield and hopefully be thereabouts at the finish, but a really competitive race, that one. The last race, it's a big field, but I'm quite confident in I Am the Sculptor. Toby Edmonds trains this one, draws favourably in barrier 8. And I thought the last start win at Doomben was quite good in the small field. Has always shown a bit of upside, and I don't think it's got to its top mark yet. 5 wins from 16 starts. I'm the Sculptor, I think you can follow with a little bit of confidence on the weekend. The only danger, I think, is Beat Streak, number 18.
Alrighty, there's a couple of black type races at Ascot on Saturday, or at least it's supposed to be. I note that the forecast is for 39 degrees, so I wouldn't have thought there's any great certainty to go ahead. And so let's just whip through it pretty quickly. The first of those is race 5, the listed Lex Piper, over 1600 for 3-year-old males.
Number 6, Final Salute, on top for me from 5 Gangbuster, 2 Verve de Vega, and 7 Sky Atlas. An interesting race, contrasting form lines coming into it. Just going with Final Salute here, and doesn't seem to get too much support from my co-panelist in the tipsters group, but I thought the last start run was quite good, and Chris Parnham aboard. Yeah, it looks like he's going to permanently relocate to Perth by the looks of things. He's not making any hurry to come back to Melbourne.
And the other black type race at Ascot on Saturday is race 7, the Detonator Stakes, 1800 listed race.
Yeah, Poonamoo, race 7, number 7. This horse is really in form, winning 4 of his past 5, and he closed quite strongly last time to claim victory. So the wide barrier, I'm not too concerned about here. He does seem to have a bit of a class edge. I've got him ahead of 6 already famous, 2 Tonto and 9 Falcon's Crest. The best bet of the day is race 6, number 7, Bounce Down. This horse is quite a good on-pacer. Won 2 of his past 2 starts, 2 of 3 this campaign. From barrier 4, he should go forward and give them something to catch over the 1,200 metres. Conversely, my value bet, race 8, number 8, Red Paddy, is a swooping type. I didn't think the run last time was all that bad when finishing just outside the placings. The win prior was quite impressive. And if they do go hard in front, Red Paddy will be the one finishing home over the top.
Earlier in the day across the Tasman, they're racing at Matter Matter and Otaki. And Matter Matter is the main meeting, but there is the time-honored Haunui Farm Group 1 Otaki Wait for Age Classic on at Otaki. We've got, in fact, full fields as well as colours and form for the main races at Otaki and Matter Matter in your winning post this week. So what do you got for us there, Carl?
Well, the Group 1 race, firstly, I'm going with Sophia Rosa to knock off Kawi. Great race, though. I think Sophia Rosa at the 1,600 metres is suited here. Numerical statistics don't say so. Unplaced from 3 runs at the mile. But in one of those races was in New Zealand where she fell. The other start was over here in Australia when she just jarred up on the firm surface. Clearly, she'll be suited out to the 1,600 metres at this level. I think she's a great each way, better than around about the $9. A good race to watch. And the other race at Otaki of interest is the New Zealand St. Ledger Trial. Johnny Lincoln has been knocking on the door for quite some time, and I think he's quite decently weighted. Even as a top weight of 59.5, as a handicap, he would be giving away some more weight to his rivals here. So I think he's one to beat there in the St. Ledger Trial. Over to Matter Matter, it's plenty of stakes races there. There's 2 black type races for the 2-year-olds. They've obviously got the New Zealand size produce and diamond stakes coming up, so those races are quite keen to, well, they're quite important to watch from that perspective. Going with race 4, number 1, Aim Smart, and also race 6, number 2, Princess Rihanna. Also, Daniela Rosa, the former Michael Moroney trained mare. She's now in New Zealand with Stephen Marsh, the trainer of Sophia Rosa, so keen to see how she goes. She's got a 4-kilo climbing apprentice aboard and should really be winning that race, race 5, number 2. And we've also got other good races on Mongolian Legend, race 9, number 7. Might be a Derby prospect. The Derby's in another 9 days' time. Mongolian Legend's out of the former Hayes-trained mare Purdy. And certainly bred to stay Mongolian Legend and is showing plenty of ability. Might not be ready for next week's New Zealand Derby, but maybe one to follow with a view to Queensland.
The other black type in Australia over the weekend is on Friday night at the Valley, where there is a Group 3. It is the Simpson Construction Typhoon Tracy Stakes over 1,200 metres for three-year-old fillies.
I urge everyone to watch the trial of Overstep in Sydney, where it's finished fourth behind Chautauqua and... Gee, who's that other good sprinter? There was two Group 1 winning sprinters Overstep ran behind in Sydney in the Rose Hill Trial. It just escapes me. Star Turn and Chautauqua. And then had a jump out at Flemington 8 days ago and ran the quickest time in the morning. The rider on the horse could not go any... You know, he just was trying to go as slow as he could, but just couldn't hold it back any further. He's feet were past the hands. It was just quite incredible. She's absolutely flying Overstep. If she gets to the rail first, she'll be awfully hard to beat, and is certainly one of the better bets on the card.
Alrighty, well, that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Plenty of reading in this week's. We've got a wraparound feature on Blue Diamond Day, including Paul Richards has got an interesting Q&A with Craig Williams, and he's got another Q&A in his normal slot with Kevin Sheedy, the AFL legend and, of course, owner of Bellis Bree and now breeder. And we've got all our other usual features, as well as the form for Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, all for only $5. Well, Carl, the time has come for me to announce what I'm going for, and look, you know, I mean, I'm going for six in a row, and I think it would just be a bit too weak to go for an odds on pop.
Silence Edition. You're going to think about...
No, I'm not going Silence Edition, because you've taken a set against it. I'm going for one that is not there's not quite as short as those two, but I mean, they certainly say that you shouldn't lay odds on or run upstairs, Carl, but as you know, I do run upstairs every day. However, I'm not going for Black Heart Bart. I am going for Derren. Race 2, number 3, Derren in the Zeta Diff Stakes is your nap bet for the weekend.
And
Carl?
Mine is the one you don't listen to, is in the Blue Diamond, race 7, number 10, Will's Bid. Have 10 each way at the 60 to 1 and cross your fingers.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you, at least I hope I'll be talking to you after having my wisdom teeth out next week on the Preview Podcast.